Throughout all time, humanity, humankind, has sought for some kind of a connection or an understanding of that which is greater than who we are in this physical body throughout time. And as we continue to move forward in our spiritual expression, as spiritual humanity, that question for us continues as we seek to find meaning current day. In a celebration of Easter, I want to talk a little bit about the origin of the Easter mythologies, symbologies, of the Christianity symbologies, and how it's relevant to us each currently today in our lives. So my talk title is The Easter Message, A Story of Transformation. So how many of you grew up hunting Easter eggs on Easter Sunday? A few of you did, okay. And how many of you grew up experiencing or wondering about the crucifixion of the Christ, having that teaching as a part of what you grew up with? Did some of you grow up with that? Many did. In the Western world, that concept of Christianity is pretty prevalent. And so I wanted to take us kind of back into more of an understanding of the mythologies and the spiritual messages that lie behind what became the formation of Christianity. And what oftentimes, because we grew up with those stories, we sort of follow them by rote. We continue to celebrate Easter in the ways we always did. And I'm going to kind of upset the Easter egg cart today, because I want us to consider what's really relevant to us today and understand that most of how we experience our spirituality, how we experience the things in our outer world, how we experience Christianity or any other religions or spiritual teachings, is based on history that goes way back into times that we don't even remember. And one of the oldest documented religions comes from Persia. Zoroastrianism. Astroism, sorry, it's not an easy word to say. And when you go back and you kind of take a look at an understanding or some of the teachings, you begin to see that their basic idea is a monotheistic, a one God of goodness and of love and of light. All the way back, that precedes Christ by about somewhere around 1,000 to 2,000 years. And then you begin to see, as different civilizations and different countries, different groups of people begin to have their own experiences of something greater than themselves, of what they would call God, we begin to see a great deal of what was termed paganism, which was simply a natural order of how things are. And for the Greeks, it began to be called Hellenism. There's so much history, I'm not going to go through all of it, but it's important for us to recognize the things that spiritual humanity, in man seeking to have a connection to a God or to something greater than self. It was about understanding nature, understanding the lightning that would come to through the sky, the understanding of eclipses, of which we're about to have another total eclipse, second one in our lifetime. Of the flow of the seasons, of trying to have an understanding of what is greater than just the human egoic perception of what we currently have been taught. And so going back into that first understanding of what God is, from Scripture in Revelation 22:13, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And I love this from Isaiah. That says in chapter 40, verse 28, the last half of that. The Lord is the everlasting God. Now, we understand the word God was utilized in the English translations of the Bible. In Jesus' language that he would have spoken with his disciples was Aramaic. And we know from biblical scholars that Jesus' name was not God. He might say Abba as that affectionate term of connection with that which is greater. He would say the one that is ever-eterner and all that is. That was how Jesus spoke. But so in our anglicized Bible, it has the word God. So whatever represents for you, you can put that, you can say the breath of life, the flow of energy, everything that is. So the Lord is the everlasting everything that is, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. His understanding, in other words, we cannot fathom, we cannot understand through the perception of our normal egoic personality in our world outside of ourselves. So we begin to kind of have a sense of people seeking to understand and to know God. And we begin to also know that the mythologies of the Greeks, of the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Persians, the Egyptians, in their seeking to understand the flow of our universe, right? And how things are. And what is significant. And so in a reading from Julie Peters, she's a body-based spiritual counselor and a yoga instructor. And she says, like many Christian holidays, many of our Christian holidays that have been formulated far more recently than the original spiritual ideas. Like many Christian holidays, Easter is connected to older mythologies. You can tell this by the fact that Easter is a movable feast. The date changes each year because it is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. Easter is also the holiday, believed to be the holiday of the pagan Germanic goddess, Estra, the goddess of the dawn. She is celebrated at springtime when the light begins to return in the northern hemisphere to warm up the earth, bringing with it food, flowers, and the promise of a new season. The eggs and bunnies so often seen around Easter are actually symbols of the goddess fertility, of rebirth and new life. So we see all of these things that we celebrate, we participate, and we just kind of do it by rote, and it's lots of fun, and there's these wonderful things that are part of Easter for us. Have greater significance spiritually. And we can understand also as she is speaking here about the fact that the date upon which we celebrate Easter was not actually decided upon until Constantine gathered at the Nicene Council approximately 300 years after the life of Jesus. And in following these celebrations of the Jewish Passover feast, which was aligned with spring and renewal, and all of these mythologies passed down through time that we try to understand or have a sense of something greater than ourselves, they combined it together and established that Easter would be the same as the Passover, which is based on the flow of our seasons and the new spring moon. Peter Thunell goes on to say, he's a staff writer from Brigham Young University. He says, the things we associate with the secular side of Easter, the eggs, the rabbits, etc., are symbols that predate Easter itself. The traditions of the modern Christian celebration of Easter are directly tied to the traditions of the ancient pagans. As Christianity spread, Christian converts decided to coincide their holy day celebrations with pagan celebrations that already existed. How many of us knew that? So we don't think about it. Good, thank you. Some people are familiar with these things and seek, and a lot of people don't, because we've just been taught over time, and we just take it at face value, and we just celebrate Easter the way we always have. And I'm inviting us to take a little different look at Easter and its message to us. So also from Sonia Zofia, she's a blog author. She writes Writing with Hope. She's a metaphysical and symbolic teacher, and she says rebirth is a main theme behind not only Christianity, so rebirth, not only behind Christianity, but other religions that have celebrated the resurrection mythology. When we go back to mythology, that constant theme, and this is what's important, of life, of end of life, and of rebirth, that constant theme has been with humanity throughout existence in many mythologies. The symbolic nature of Easter is a process of dying to the old self and being reborn in a spiritual sense. Beyond religious dogma lies a deeper meaning that can be utilized for anyone inclined to live a more fulfilling life. And from and so as we begin to see some of the symbologies that we just have taken lightly for granted through our religious teachings or whatever our backgrounds are, we begin to delve more deeply into the mythologies, the metaphysical meanings, and the symbols that they represent. So then we come to the cross. And how many of us, for how many of us, the cross is the three crosses on the mountain, and Jesus was crucified on a cross. How many of you have had that in your teaching in the past? Most of us have in the Western world. Now, historically, it is most likely that Jesus was crucified on actually a tree or a branch. And the idea of the cross did not come into the Christian teachings until the time of Constantine. So I want to speak a little bit about the symbology of the cross and why that was important. Because in the time of Constantine, with all of the different backgrounds, the spiritual heritages of the people, of the pagans, of the natural order of life, they needed to incorporate all of that from the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Persians, and all of these concepts, and bring them together into something that is spiritually significant and meaningful to us. So from, thanks for leaving that up, Susan. So from Theosophist Trust, it says, history shows that the cross was used by many civilizations as a spiritual and mystical symbol with pagan origins, meeting, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years before Christ even arrived on our planet. In Assyria, Babylonia, Egypt, Greece, Asia, India, centuries before Christ. The cross symbol is varied, as it is much older than Jesus or Christianity. So how it looks is varied. The Christian use of the cross did not begin until the time of Constantine, three centuries after the death of Christ. The cross is from dreamdictionary.org, it says, the cross is a powerful symbol representing the connection between heaven and earth, a meeting point of death and rebirth, and new spiritual awareness. The horizontal dimension represents the life of matter, as we know it in the human egoic life. The vertical dimension is the timeless spiritual plane. The cross is the expression of the meaning of the two, the best possible expression of human existence. So as we take a look at all of this that predated Jesus and then began to be incorporated in the stories that Christianity began to create after Jesus died, after he lived his life, shared his messages, we can see that a great deal of what we celebrate and participate in is symbolic. So that brings us to then, what is the message that Jesus came to share with us? And I talked last Sunday about, as Jesus had practiced his ministry. He from the age of 12 to approximately 30. There is no mention of him really in the Bible because he traveled throughout the lands and learned and grew and had his own spiritual experiences. As a rabbi, he would visit synagogues. He would teach in synagogues. Excuse me. And yet he had his own greater truth and his own understanding that he was walking upon this planet to share with us. And a lot of that consciousness was about the presence of God is an essence or the flow of energy that is within all of existence, all of humanity, all of nature, all of everything that is. So there is not a Father God, a powerful God, something outside of us that directs us, gets angry. That was not his concept or his understanding. He recognized through the mythologies and everything he had been exposed to and the teachings that God or the allness or the breath of life, the oneness that is a flow of all creation that is not understandable, as it says in Scripture. And he came to teach us. Especially when he rode in, I spoke last Sunday. He came to celebrate the Passover. Everyone wanted to put him on a pedestal. Have you ever experienced that in your life? You know, where someone wants to you want to put your boss up on a pedestal. You want to put somebody else on a pedestal and say they know better than I do. Or someone wants to keep you below that pedestal, that ego part of ourselves. Yeah. Well, Jesus was saying, friends, that the way to live our lives that's meaningful to us, that makes a difference to us, that connects us with each other, is not the one-upmanship, is not riding into Jerusalem on a horse like a king who's going to conquer, but to come in peace, to come in that humbleness. It's the first thing he taught. Is in order to connect to the infinite spirit within us, it is so important to let go of our egoic self, that humanness of us, and to turn within. And the second thing he shared so deeply were his commandments, a new commandment, to love one another and to love our neighbors as ourselves, which we talk about. He spoke of love. He was one of the greatest teachers of all the avatars of light that walked this planet. He was one of the greatest teachers of love. And his final message, in the stories that were told historically, we see stories in the Bible that, again, in our day and age, when we write a story, isn't it, don't we look for the facts in the news? We want to do fact checker and everything, and what are the facts? So our minds work that way. Back in the time of Jesus, that was not the case. Most people, as I've said many times, did not read or write. They understood things through the stories that they shared with each other. So they used mythologies. They used the experiences of enlightenment that they each personally had, and they shared them with each other, and they created these stories to help us know that. And one of the greatest stories that we know, the man Jesus historically walked the planet. We don't know all of the exactitudes of the dates and the times. And when we say Holy Week, Passion Week, and then he was crucified, and then he rose from the dead 3 days later, we don't know that that historically is true. Does it matter? The story is there to teach us of one of the greatest lessons that Jesus came to teach us. And that is the concept of transformation, of traversing through the challenges that we all face in life from day to day, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's with our families, whether it's in moving to someplace new, whether it's a health challenge. The symbology of the experience of him being persecuted for sharing new ideas and beliefs that were expansive and allowed people to have their own power versus a power outside of themselves. He was persecuted. He was crucified. The symbology is the dying to that which is the old paradigm or the old idea. And the symbology of the tomb is similar to everything we see in nature, is it not? Does not the little caterpillar go into the cocoon? And we know that what happens is the whole structure, the whole caterpillar turns to this goo. It's just, it's totally reconstructed to emerge from that cocoon as a butterfly. And this is the story that Jesus exemplifies and that is spoken of in the Bible about he rose on the third day. In Scripture, from Matthew 28, 1 through 2 and 5 through 6, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen.'" Now, going beyond these specific words, we can understand the story that's being shared. Through the darkness of the tomb, through the time of turning within, connecting to infinite spirit, we shift in our consciousness and we rise up on the other side. And from Luke 24, 6 through 7, it says, "Remember how he told you." Remember how Jesus told you. These are the angels. "While he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be crucified and on the third day rise again." So Jesus in his life as a rabbi and as a teacher lived his life and exemplified his life, friends, to share with us the amazing opportunity we have day to day, moment to moment, to rise through and beyond the challenges that we face. To go into the tomb, to take the time apart, to be willing to let go of angers, resentments, fears, concerns that we have held on to, in order to be willing to feel our connection to infinite spirit, to the oneness of all that is, that brings us a sense of guidance, a sense of light, a sense of hope, a sense of healing love, in order then to emerge on the other side triumphant, to celebrate. And that truly is what Easter is all about. Is our willingness as spiritual humanity to understand the opportunity that we have to shift and grow. Centering in spirit guides us beyond challenges to rise up in Christ consciousness. And so Joseph Campbell, many of you know him as a professor of literature and mythology and comparative religion. He says, "A Holy Week message is one of preparation to rise to a new level of being. Regardless of what we believe actually happened, this is the message. We prepare by releasing our limitations, doing our inner work to transform our consciousness to create a receptivity to the new. Then we move through the crucifixion, the dying off, whatever the personal challenge and discomfort are, and allow the inner change to gestate, finally rising as the new consciousness. In this way, we are transformed, friends. The risen Christ consciousness within is awakened and expresses as a new version of self." So friends, I can just invite you on this wonderful day of Easter in celebrating spring and recognizing the messages of nature all around us, of the renewal of the little plants that push through the soil and come to flower, the leaves that begin to blossom on the trees, to understand these stories of mythology and that predate Christ, but then are relived and re-expressed through his life that continue to teach us so many important lessons about our power to travel through the darkness of challenges, to travel through the times of discovering something new that feel a little uncomfortable, in order to rise beyond into the light, friends. So let this Easter be a time of celebrating, a time of looking for those Easter eggs and enjoying the chocolate in your Easter bunny baskets if you have them, and sharing time with friends or on your own in ways that are significant, in ways that allow us to embrace our world and understand that we are all a part of this oneness, and a willingness to rise into a greater consciousness, to live our lives where we are willing to forgive ourselves and others, where we are willing to see differently, where we are willing to let go of our angers or to understand them or to heal them and bless them. Whatever those challenges may be, it is ours to celebrate. From Isaiah 61 and 60, verse 1 in Scripture, it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you," friends. Arise. When we are connected into infinite spirit, that glory and that beauty and that light shine forth from us. And from 1 John 1, 5, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all," friends. This is the message to breathe into through this Easter celebration. Charles Fillmore, one of our founders, from his book Keep a True Lent, says, "Eastertide, the resurrection of the mind from the darkness of its doubts and false beliefs into the light of understanding." The word crucifixion means the crossing out in consciousness of certain errors that have become fixed states of mind. The giving up of the personality, the egoic self, in order that the Christ mind, Christ beingness, may be expressed in all its fullness. And so, friends, one of the beautiful ceremonies that I particularly love of Easter time is a representation of the carnations by the cross. And in just a moment, I will be inviting each of you to come forth and, as you choose, and take a carnation with an understanding that as you take hold of that carnation, it's a symbolic recognition that you choose to rise above, to rise beyond, to claim the light of your own Christ consciousness within you, to cross out error thinking a step at a time, a day at a time, a moment at a time, and to live into that which is the light of understanding and greater knowing. So I invite you from the back to come into the center, come forward, and take a flower, and then return to your seat. And so, in closing, I will share a quote from Desmond Tutu, South African bishop and theologian. "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness, friends." Let's walk in light on this Easter day, celebrating that rise up in consciousness and that truth that we know is the eternal possibility of ongoing renewal, of springtime, of all creation.